showing our gratitude for our veterans. The May We Thank You Tour highlights stories from men and women in Southwest Michigan who've selflessly served our country. Presented by Boss Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and One Day Bathroom Solutions. Raising the standard and 20 in a row, 97.5 Y Country. Our other red, white, and blue partners are
Pristine Pool and Spa. They not only help their customers' dreams become a reality with their custom pools and spas made in the USA, but they also have a passion for supporting the community and are proud to salute America's heroes. Medic One Ambulance. When lives are in the balance, the trained professionals of Medic One are there. Heartlines Garden Center. Baskets and planters brimming with vibrant, beautiful blooms. Allred Funeral Home of Marion Springs and Bowerman Funeral Home of Eau Claire. Proud sponsor of our May We Thank You Tour. Aiden's Landscape Supplies. Proud supporter and sponsor of Great Yards Everywhere. St. Joe Monument Works. Honoring loved ones with custom memorials for nearly 100 years. And United Way of Southwest Michigan. Thanking veterans and their families in Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Call 211 for crisis help.
The May We Thank You Tour on 20 in a row, 97.5 Y Country. Wow.
We continue our May We Thank You Tour, and we're doing so with a very special guest today because this is actually our first military personnel who is actually currently deployed. So we are extremely grateful. Sergeant Jess Green is with us. And Jess, let's talk a little bit about what your role is with the Army.
Yes, so I'm a sergeant in the Army. I'm actually in the Indiana National Guard. I'm part of the Hoosier Dust Off. Dust Off is a medevac company within the ranks of the military. So what I do, or what my job is I'm a crew chief. So I'm a mechanic. So I fix the helicopters, and I, as well as fly in them. And in a medevac company, we transport patients, whether it's someone got injured out in the field or there's not medical care we're currently at, or where they're currently at, need to go somewhere else where they can be seen. So it can be anything from just a minor injury to something major like a car accident or anything like that. And I, in the back, assist the flight medics with the patient and make sure that we get to our destination safely.
It sounds like a pretty intense job that, I mean, in certain situations, very intense as well. Have you kind of always been that kind of adrenaline rush type person, or was that something that kind of developed as you were there when you got put in those situations?
I would like to say I've always been that way. Prior to me becoming a full-time aircraft mechanic, I worked as confined space and rescue in the steel mills. So I've always been kind of in that helping people and just trying to get out there and do things that most people don't typically do.
Sure. Well, let's ask then, you know, going back to the beginning of your service, what made you decide that you wanted to sign up to serve your country?
Growing up, I have always wanted to join the military. I previously wanted to do the Air Force. Military is kind of run in my family. But growing up, I've been kind of the Army way of life, and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna join the Army. And I decided the National Guard because I had things at home that I still wanted to do. I wanted to go to college, even though I did not attend college right after high school. But staying home and with the National Guard has given me the opportunity to work full-time as a civilian, as well as have a military lifestyle. And I've gone to, I think, 7 or 8 different schools in the last 2 years. So I've spent more time away from home than I have at home, unfortunately, but it's been a blast. I've learned a lot, and I got to travel first the States and now obviously the world since I'm on the other side.
Well, let's talk about your degrees too, because you mentioned that many schools, but bachelor's degrees and man, just the amount of time, how easy or difficult has it been for you to be able to do studies as well as serving?
Doing studies and serving hasn't been too much of a struggle. I think the hardest part is having a full-time job and also going to school full-time, but that's just with any college student. But serving has given me a lot more opportunities and has opened my eyes as far as the types of schools that I go to. So I'm currently an online student. And I'm going to pursue the rest of my degree that way. But while I'm pursuing a bachelor's degree in aviation maintenance online, because I've already got the hands-on experience, that allows me the opportunity to go to other schools with the military that can help civilian side. So one of the schools that I went to last year was Eddie Currents, a non-destructive inspection course. So I learned how to do all those inspections. So I'm certified on the military side. And then once I get a certain amount of hours, I can take a test and I'll be certified civilian side. And that will open up so many doors on what I can do job-wise.
Let's go back a little bit to the beginning again of your service, and you mentioned that you have military in your family, but what was it like for you telling your parents that this is what I want to do, I want to go and serve my country? How did they react to that? Was it good?
I think they were a little surprised, but not quite surprised, just because I had been talking about it for so long. I was 17 years old when I joined, so... my mother was very supportive, and so was my father, but me being my dad's little girl, I think he was a little nervous. Being a senior in high school and saying, hey, Dad, this is what I want to do, and I want to go do great things and travel the world and do what I can, and I knew I wanted to do aviation, so he had sat down with my recruiter and had a long talk with him and finally decided that, okay, you know, is what you want to do. I'm stand behind you and your decisions, and I'm very proud of you. And I think now that I have been in almost 10 years, wow, it kind of blows my mind that it's been that long already.
Wow.
I think he's very proud of me. And even though I did not go to college right away, he's been super supportive of my decisions, and I even think he may be a little jealous.
Well, let's, I guess, talk a little bit more. And I know we can't talk specifics because, again, it's, you know, not something we want to put any, you know, information out there that shouldn't be out there. But is there maybe a moment or something that you've done over your military service or career that you're really proud of? Or if somebody were to ask, you know, what is one defining moment that you had while you were serving, what would that be for you?
Oh, wow. I guess I've never thought about that. I would have to say, so when I first joined, I was a hydraulics mechanic on all rotary wing in the Army. Only the last 3 or 4 years have I been just a Blackhawk mechanic. And I think the moment when they decided that I was going to become a crew chief is... the moment I look back on the most. My very first flight under night vision goggles was extremely eye-opening for me, and just how blessed I am to have such an amazing job. Like being up in the air, flying around, seeing everything under night vision goggles, just it's a whole new kind of beauty that most people don't get to see.
Going into that role as a crew chief, how many people are on your crew, and was it something where you were with them the whole time and promoted you within, or did they assign you to a new crew?
So it's kind of different from state to state. Typically, you've got your Blackhawk mechanics, and they'll have to board in order to go to a flight spot. At least that's how most states do it. So you kind of get selected to become a crew chief. I'm not sure how it is on the active duty side of the house, but they looked at me and said, hey, I know you've expressed interest in flying, and we'd be glad to bring you over to the flight company. And next thing I know, I had flight gear and I was training to become a crew chief.
Wow. And going through and obviously, you know, leading a team, were you in any other leadership roles throughout school that kind of prepared you for it outside of the training that the Army gave you?
Outside of the Army, I would say just regular promotions at civilian jobs, giving me some leadership roles. I was a shift manager at a gas station. I was a shift manager at a Subway. I was a team lead at an Arby's in high school. So that kind of prepared me, as well as I was in junior ROTC when I was in high school, which gave me a wealth of knowledge, just general life knowledge that most high school students don't get. I learned how to change a tire and how to do my taxes, and all that gave me life skills. And then the military on top of that gave me leadership skills to where now I can be inside an aircraft and tell an officer, even though I'm just a sergeant, like, hey, you can't land over here because X, Y, and Z, and just making sure that everyone is safe in and around the aircraft.
That's awesome. That is incredible. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the current state of the world. And I know that here in, you know, stateside and the U.S., we're going through, you know, stay home, stay safe orders, COVID-19, and just curious for our military personnel, have you guys seen anything that's changed over on your side with how you're serving in regards to this pandemic that's happening right now?
I think it's similar to what's going on in the States. A lot of the bigger installations over here, the gym closed, you can't eat inside the hall, you have to have a face mask on. Practicing social distancing, just you guys are in the States. So that's made things a little different here. But outside of just things being closed, oh, well, now I can't go to the gym. I guess I'll have to go run outside today.
You're making do. You're making do. I like that. Okay, so that's, I guess, ask the question. Obviously, being stateside, you and I are able to have a conversation right now. There's obviously a big time difference between here and there, but how often do you have the availability to chat with family and friends? Is that kind of a regular basis, or is it kind of rare that you get the opportunity?
It all depends on the internet connection. I have only called home a handful of times because the internet has been so iffy. Texting, though, like through Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or whatever kind of Wi-Fi based communication, that seems to be okay. So if I send a message and they don't get it right away, I completely understand, and they completely understand because of the Wi-Fi and because of the time difference. But I try to contact home at least through a text message as much as possible. Just like, hey, how's it going? I didn't do anything today. Nothing's changed here. It's just hot.
Still a lot of sand. And
yep.
To your mom and dad, who I know are going to be listening to this, being that, you know, probably been a while since they've been able to hear your voice, is there anything you want to say to them or want to tell them?
I'd just like to say thank you for the support. Thank you for all the birthday wishes, and keep sending me care packages because the snacks are so much better than the food here.
I love that. When was your birthday?
The 17th. So just a few days ago.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So the last question that I really want to ask is, you know, for somebody who is a civilian who has no military experience, what should they know about the service that you and your comrades, your fellow soldiers, are doing right now as you are currently serving?
I would like to just say that working hard, just over here, overseas, even everybody back home, we joined for a reason. We absolutely love jobs, and we just keep doing what we're doing, and we 100% appreciate everybody's support back home, even the support stateside when there's natural disaster, like a hurricane, and just everybody coming together and supporting the troops. It's really appreciated.
Well, we are grateful for everything that you do for us. The sacrifice, obviously, away from time, family, friends, and just the ability for us to, again, live our lives on a normal basis because of what y'all are doing. So we appreciate you very much. And I tell you what, once you get back, let's meet you, your parents, and people. Let's go grab a beer because you deserve it, all right? And it'll be a birthday present.
Oh, I would absolutely love that.
Jess, you are amazing. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you.
Revisit our previous conversations with our American heroes at 975ycountry.com, in any podcast platform by searching 975ycountry, or inside the Y Country mobile app. The May We Thank You Tour, presented by Boss Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and One Day Bathroom Solutions, raising the standard. And 20 in a row, 975ycountry.